Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus. As we pull out, the great one, Doug Tonis, and I pull out, there's a big red mailbag filled with big red questions between us. And we're pulling this big bus out for another ride. How you doing, my man? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing outstanding. And now that we're on take number two, I don't know if I can use the same joke.
So I'm going
to have to come up with something new. I'll come up with a new big red joke later.
Big red joke, right.
But things are going excellently.
All right, man. I don't know about you. I am like on cloud nine excitement here. In a week, we find out where they're going to be picking. And, you know, I can't help but thinking if somehow they get lucky again. You know, it happened when we got Rose in 08. If they can get lucky and get the number one pick, gosh, DeAndre Ayton just fits so well right into that center spot. What say you?
I think there's like some term. It's like gambler's optimism that you've got going on there. I mean, I get the excitement, but realistically, our odds are much higher of dropping down to seven than they are moving up to 1-3. So
what's one? What's the odds for one?
Odds for one are a 5%, 5.3%, something like that.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Saying there's a chance, just like Jim Carrey.
There you go. All right. Well, I can dream. Probably not going to happen, but, you know, even if I almost feel like I'd rather have one or six, because I tell you what, I am scared to death with the thought of having two and, you know, taking Luka Doncic, who I just think has bust written all over him. I hope I'm wrong, right? If that's what we end up with. But that guy to me has so much high bust potential. I'm not at all enthralled with his game as some other people are.
Well, we talked about it before, and I'm kind of on the same page with you. Watching him, it's hard for me to see how it translates amazingly. Maybe his comparison is Manu Ginobili. I don't know. It's hard for me to find like which star player I look at. Maybe Gordon Hayward. But which star player I can think of that maybe doesn't have, you know, this like tremendous athleticism or tremendous size, but is gonna, you know, kind of beat you up and is kind of like a small forward type. I mean, just maybe shooting guard. I mean, I don't know. I just don't see a lot of great comparisons that I see him matching up with.
I agree, 100%. I think defensively he's gonna just have an awful time, and it just bothers me when you have that skill set and that athleticism that you can't shoot well from three. I know that could come. I know there's people who've done it before, but I think more often than not, it doesn't just erupt, right? You're not going to go from shooting 30% in EuroLeague to 40% in NBA, but you know, I hope I'm wrong on that. So let's hope.
Well, he's a young guy. Shooting does come around. A lot of guys develop shooting even much later in their careers. I think your three-point shooting is definitely one of the skills you can develop. But when you look at young guys, if they don't have the athleticism and they don't have like the size and some of the physicals, like you can never get that. You can always have a chance of improving skill.
Yes.
But you never have a chance really of improving your athleticism all that much. You can get a little faster or whatever, but I mean, to some degree, you kind of tell who the real freak athletes are right away, right? You don't become an A-tier athlete if you're a B-tier athlete earlier.
It's hard to improve on what DeAndre Ayton has, which is 7 feet tall and 260 pounds of rock solid granite. You know, that's something you can't teach and you can't get better at. It's just, you know, something you have, size. And that's, you know, that's why he's going to be the number one overall pick. But let's get to the mailbag. And Larry Hughes Jr., our good friend, with a question for us. My question for you, Fred, and Doug, on Big Red Bus, if the Bulls draft Bridges, I'm assuming he's talking about Mikal, should they re-sign Nwaba? I like Nwaba, but does it make sense to have him and Holiday behind Bridges, considering Valentine is also there as well? What's your take on that?
Well, my take is, I mentioned earlier, is I don't think they should sign Nwaba no matter what. You got cap room in 2019, potentially enough cap room for two max free agents, depending on how things go, which could really lead to some pretty compelling types of situations. So I don't think you clog any of that up with Nwaba. Like, why would you do that? You know, he's a backup guy. I like him too. He's a fun player to watch. I enjoyed having him on the team. It, you know, really made some games enjoyable. But you can find another Nwaba some other year.
Well, doesn't it kind of depend on what he's going to demand? Like, if he's $3 million, no. $3 to $5 million, I'm absolutely 100% down on bringing David Nwaba back. I think he's a great wing to have off the bench. He's a little undersized, height-wise.
And if you're $3 to $5 million short of offering a max contract to two top-tier free agents, you're going to be excited to have Nwaba on your roster instead of two of them?
It's something you can move, though. Like, I don't think a contract like that would...
It's not easy to move guys for pure cap space. I mean, it's easy to move guys for expiring deals. It's not easy to move guys for pure cap space.
Yeah. You're on the record, then, for you want him... You're willing to let him walk this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Not even willing. You should let him walk. No matter what he wants, just let him walk. I mean, you don't invest into role players when you don't have star players. You've got tons of depth at his position. I mean, particularly if you draft a wing, then there's no way you keep him. Yeah. But even if you don't draft a wing, I'd let him walk.
Next question. I just for the record, I'm not for letting him walk. I think they should offer him $3 to $5 million, and if it's a dime over $5 million, then you let him walk. But I think David Nwaba on that type of deal is a great deal. I like his game. I do like him. I think he's a tad overrated. I think people went a little bit overboard, but like a defensive force coming off the bench, instant energy, and if he could develop a three-pointer, quasi-consistent, which he kind of showed this year. I thought he improved a little bit there. I think he's a valuable player.
For a guy who just like religiously knows the 3-point stats of every player in the league, I can't believe you're saying that he kind of improved on his three, and you feel confident about him becoming a good 3-point shooter at any point.
What did he shoot this year?
He barely took any, and his percentage was low. I mean, he did look a little better at the end of the year when he had like some hot stretch where he hit like a few.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, if he massively changes his game to become a 3-point shooter and he's a 3-and-D guy, then he's really valuable. You know, same with every other player, that if they massively improve some glaring weakness in their game, they'll be worth more than they were prior to doing so.
Well, he shot 34.6% from three this year, up from 20. That's respectable. Again, you know, 35% is what I consider to be average. So just a tad below average, but, you know, that's pretty considerable improvement.
Only on wide open shots.
Agreed.
And on very few attempts.
Boy, I just knew this anti-Nwaba bias that you have. I had no idea it was so blatant. It's unbelievable.
I like Nwaba. I mean, I really enjoyed watching him. He's one of the most fun things to watch this year. I agree with you, he's a great value at $3 to $5 million. I mean, I think he's a good value too. I just don't think you clog up your cap space and potentially lose out on star players because you signed a bunch of role players.
Hmm.
And you have tons of guys. I mean, maybe if you could trade Holiday for cap space, or you trade Holiday for an expiring, so you're basically swapping out Holiday for Nwaba, though Holiday is off the books next year, so that doesn't help you any. I take it back. No, still can't sign Nwaba.
Okay. Message sent. From Jay Butler at He Said What Sports. Question, who has more upside, Mo Bamba or Ayton?
I mean, is that a question?
Yeah, it's his question.
I think Ayton, right? I mean, I get the idea that some people want to measure upside, but this guy is like 1 inch taller, so clearly if he all of a sudden develops all the skills that Ayton already has, then he might be better. But, I mean, like, realistically, there's no chance that happens, right?
Well, I think what he's saying...
is nowhere near the prospect that Ayton is. I mean, I guess technically, in the anything can happen... I wouldn't have said Donovan Mitchell has more upside than all the guys drafted ahead of him last year. So anything can happen. But it'd be a really, really big shock if Mo Bamba had a better career than DeAndre Ayton to me.
I think the angle he's taking is right now Ayton is clearly, you know, better player than Mo Bamba. And so he's closer to his ceiling than Bamba is. You know, I do find Bamba, I think I wouldn't draft him. He wasn't anywhere near one of my favorite players in this draft. I constantly looked at box scores where he was the third best offensive player on Texas. And when you see that, I think that's a huge warning sign. You should rarely ever take a lottery pick with a player like that. But then you see the video of him hitting 9 3-pointers, and he is freakishly long, 7'9" wingspan. You can see that guy, you know, maybe has just a ton of room for improvement. And I would agree with you, though. I think upside-wise, Ayton, though, definitely is probably higher.
Ayton looks like he could easily be the next Antonio Davis. Right?
I mean, well, is that something to be happy about? I liked Antonio Davis, but not a number one overall. That's right. Oh, my God.
I just want the wrong Davis. Anthony Davis.
Oh, thank God. All right.
I don't know how I ended up in the Wayback Machine there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a complete brain fart. But next, Anthony Davis, right?
You shouldn't say Davis. Go ahead.
Not that he necessarily will be, but he looks like a premier prospect. He's big. He's got a huge size. He just scored all over in college, you know, dominant statistical performance, dominant size, dominant everything. I mean, he looks like he could be, you know, the next great offensive center in this league, or like one of them, you know, competing with those really, truly elite offensive centers. Mo Bamba just doesn't. He looks like a guy who might be a good defensive anchor for your team, and a guy who maybe then develops a steady mid-range shot in an okay offense. And, yeah, you never know what can happen. But he has, like, weird, awkward movements.
Yes.
The fact that Ayton already has, you know, a huge amount of skill. He also can refine his skill even more, right? They're, like, about the same age. So if you're a lot better at the same age, one would guess that you probably also will continue to be better, you know, as you mature. Now, we've seen crazier things happen, but if you're a gambling man, you're gambling on Ayton.
Another question from He Said What Sports, Jay Butler. Are the Bulls focused on drafting to build around Lauri or just improve the team overall?
Well, I mean, you always have to improve the team overall, I think. I don't think Lauri is enough of a centerpiece right now that you're changing what you're doing to build around him.
Well, you're not drafting a power four. Well, see, I think what he's getting at here, and I agree with this. If you're drafting Bagley, is Bagley really a great fit with Markkanen? I think he's arguably...
It doesn't matter. If he's available, you're going to take him.
Yeah, I just think there's other players that kind of, you know, Ayton obviously is a center. Like, I kind of view Bagley as like a power
forward. But if Ayton is on the board, you're going to take Ayton anyway.
No doubt.
Right?
No
like,
doubt.
There's no scenario where you're taking Bagley over Ayton for any team.
No.
So if Ayton is off the board, and I get this is why you don't want to draft two or three. Because you don't want Doncic and you don't want Bagley, and you feel bad taking anyone else.
Right, right. I kind of agree with you. I kind of concur.
If for whatever reason Bagley fell to six, or if you were at three, you take Bagley.
Yes, agreed. And I think marketing in this league, the way that the game's progressing, I think position becomes less important. You just got bigs and wings. And, you know, I think they'll find a way to play together, especially Markkanen can hit the three. So you can actually put Markkanen in at center and have Bagley play to four. But there are guys that fit clearly better with Markkanen. You know, like you drop Bridges at the three, and you got a team that's already set, right? I mean, he just fits in so well. Whereas, kind of, I think Bagley's a little bit. I like his game overall. I don't like his free throw shooting. I don't like his ability, not as a outside jumper. But he has clearly got some major skills down low. And he's not like an Okafor. Every time I hear that comparison, Okafor was slow and plodding and nowhere near as athletic as Bagley.
No, Bagley looks like a – I mean, he just looks like a player.
Yes,
I agree. Just watch him. Right? He looks like he's going to be – I mean, just looks like a player. And I think either Bagley or Lowry could play center in the league against more
teams. That's a good point. Yeah, you could just have Bagley.
I mean, and as long as they can space each other enough out on offense, I think it'll be fine. And Bagley, I think, has, you know, really nice moves off the dribble for a big man. I think they'd be fine together. I think Bagley is – I've not watched a whole ton of him, but I really like him as a prospect. I think he's going to be very, very good in the NBA.
Next question from at Captain Stucky. And first of all, thanks to everyone who sent in questions. Stucky, at Captain Stucky, three questions. Number one, if we sign one top 10 to 15 free agent that summer, who should it be?
I wouldn't sign anyone this
Paul
summer,
George.
Really.
Paul George would fit in great with this team.
Don't yeah, we? I'd love to sign Chris Paul and LeBron James, too. Actually, not really.
I don't even want Chris Paul. Yeah, I wouldn't want
to. I agree. Probably Paul and James. Even as crazy as it sounds, if LeBron James just said, I'll play here, I might say no. Like, I don't think we've got enough to win with him next year, and he's 33.
Oh, my God, Doug. Come on.
Paul George is probably – If you had a choice of George or James, who would you take? The free agent.
LeBron James. I don't think there's any question. LeBron James is, I mean, Doug, have you seen this guy? You've seen him in this series. Like, I understand what you're getting at, and I've heard this argument too, not just from you. I heard it from, you know, a lot of people I respect like you, making the case with Philadelphia. Aren't they better off, you know, going with a, wouldn't a Paul George fit in? But yeah, he'd fit in better, but he's not even in the same stratosphere as LeBron James. LeBron James is still playing so well and so good. He's taken a team that I think if you dropped him off that Cleveland team, I'm not even sure they make it to the playoffs. I'm not 100% certain. I think that's how bad that team is.
I agree with your assessment there. It's just every year you go through it with James, you have to wonder a little bit more, you know, when is he just going to fall off a cliff?
Yeah.
And maybe he won't. I mean, he really is. Like, what was Jordan when he won the final title with the Bulls?
I think it was 36.
Like 36?
Yeah, right around 37.
You know, maybe. There's really no reason to think that James is going to fall off any earlier than that. So, yeah, you probably got 3 years. So I guess you go with James. God, I just hate that. I would so hate having him on my team, though. I mean, we won't have to worry about it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean.
So I guess from that perspective, LeBron James, if I had to take someone. Paul George, number two. But of the guys who realistically might come here, I don't think there's really anyone.
What about DeAndre Jordan? I can't recall if you had an official comment on him.
My official comment was no, and then I thought, and on our show, and then on the big and the Bulls beat, I kind of said, well, maybe if he came cheap enough, but he won't. He won't come cheap enough.
Yeah, he's going to be expensive.
But I mean, maybe. And really, there's no bidders. It's a terrible year to be a free agent. I mean, like, DeAndre Jordan was thinking he's going to get like $30 million a year, but really, he's probably going to end up back with the Clippers because I don't think there's going to be anyone else to sign him.
Yeah, he's got a player option. He could opt back in, which I think would probably be the smart move. Have you looked at the 2019 free agent class?
A little bit.
Is there anybody like, because I really haven't. Maybe for the next show, let's put this on the list of things to discuss.
Well, it's Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, and Jimmy Butler.
Klay Thompson is the one I'd want, man. I would love to see that kid added to this team.
And I think Klay Thompson will be available.
I agree.
I know a lot of people think that, well, Golden State has to keep him. It's going to cost Golden State like $150 million a year in luxury tax to keep Klay Thompson. That is a lot of money to pay Klay Thompson. You know, I mean, you're paying Klay Thompson literally like $150 million a year. You know, that, or the cost of him is that. Now, granted, they could probably dump like all their other bench and then, you know, it would come out to similar to what they'd have to pay Klay Thompson. And they might opt to do that.
Yeah.
But I think at some point, you know, you're better off having, you know, two stars and some bench players than you are, and maybe three if you count Draymond Green, which I really don't. I think you probably agree with me. There's, like, no more overrated player in this league than Draymond Green.
I agree 100%. Yep, I agree 100%.
But you're still probably better off keeping Green, Durant, and Curry and some quality depth than you are those three guys and Klay Thompson, because you don't need that many, you know, guys who can just be ISO amazing scorers, right? You can get guys who just are 3-and-D, you know, and you could live with that. You could live with a good 3-and-D guy. Like, you know, Danny Green could be a great player, you know, in Golden State as an example. Not that they could get him, but, like, you don't need a Klay Thompson. If you had a Danny Green, it would give you like 80% of what Klay Thompson can give you, or what you really need from him. I mean, Klay Thompson obviously can do way more, but you don't need that much more because you got other guys. You know, if you got to give up something, I'd rather have like more depth and not, you know, run my top four guys ragged.
No, agreed. Question number two from Captain Stuckey: who could realistically be there at 22 that would help the Bulls right away? Here's a guy at 22 I'll take this one because I've been looking at the later picks in the draft. A guy from Villanova I really like. His name is Omari Spellman. He was a redshirt freshman. he played absolutely fantastic in the tournament. He's 6'9". He's just slightly, I think he might be almost 6'10". And he might be 6'10". He's a legit stretch four. I think the guy was fantastic. This year he shot 43%. From the 3-point line. He's got really nice athleticism. I think he's really being undersold. I've seen a lot of drafts where he's not even in the first round. That's a guy I absolutely love as a late first round pick. Is there anybody that you kind of had your eyes on for maybe that 22 that might be there? I don't know, maybe like a Brunson from Villanova. I don't know if you're a fan of him. Is there anyone else that you've been looking at?
I'm not a huge basketball guy, so I don't really know. The guy that like intrigues me a little bit is Anthony Simmons.
Okay.
Whom I know nothing about, really. But he was like a high school guy who was like a top high school recruit who didn't play in college this year, but is eligible for the draft. And is, I think, like one of those guys who's just like super high risk flyer. Like, probably won't end up anything, but was a guy that maybe was projected to be, you know, a high pick, but because he didn't play in college, now he's, you know, somewhere lower. And I don't really know his full story. I was just, I was looking at the draft page maybe a couple weeks ago, and I saw like team unknown or something, or undecided, and I was like, what's going on with this? It's just a weird situation. And I just kind of read about it, and I thought, that's kind of like an intriguing type of thing. If you're where the Bulls are, where you're just really trying to take a chance on getting like some future upside talent, I think that's like an intriguing way to do it. You know, it's similar but a little different than the classic like Euro stash of drafting a European guy and waiting for him to develop, kind of like Mirotic, where you knew you weren't going to get him right away, but you'd get a good player when you did. Like, maybe you just buy a lotto ticket at 22. Now, yeah. If there are some really great players available there, you know, it's fine. I can't say I've really looked past the top 10 players. So I don't know the depth. If there's someone really good, you go for it and throw away my plan. But I think I'm a little intrigued by that idea.
Here's a question, the last one from at Captain Stuckey. Is the Bulls' best player in 2019 currently on our roster?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
The best player in 2019. Now, we're going to assume we're talking about the 2019-2020 season, so after 2019 free agency, which would mean the players not on the roster right now would be anyone they draft this year, anyone they draft in 2019, and anyone they sign in this year or 2019 free agency, just so we're setting the ground rules.
Okay.
Going with that, I am going to say no. I think our best player is not yet on the roster.
I'm going to say yes. I know we differ on this. I think Markkanen is the real deal. I think he's got top five skills. I think he's going to be a top 10 player probably by 2019. That's how good I think he's going to be. He's already back in Chicago. He's already working on it at the UC, at the Advocate Center. And he's
I'm pretty sure he's
monster.
The only guy working out this summer. The yeah. rest of the league is just
everybody else is taking a vacation.
Taking time off.
How dare you? You gotta damper around my point. I can't believe you're right on my point. I just love the kid, and you know, I wasn't high on him drafting him last year. I don't think anyone was, but you know, quickly that summer watching him in the Euro leading Finland in Euro League, the guy's just got a lot more toughness, a lot more of that it factor, I think, than any one of us could have expected. The only question and problem I foresee, you know, he doesn't have a mastery of the language yet. And that's a little bit rough for a kid, you know, who has a couple other alphas or wannabe alphas on the team in Dunn and LaVine, especially LaVine, who clearly thinks he's the, you know, the leader of this team and the guy to go to down the stretch. I could kind of foresee some friction there. So that's the only kind of thing that kind of the variable for me. I mean, if they get Ayton, I think Ayton would probably be the best player in 2019, but I'm just assuming they won't. Let's go to... Go ahead, Doug.
No, I was going to say, it's a fair assumption. I think they have... If I just was playing Markkanen against the field, I think there's a good chance they'll sign a Klay Thompson in 2019, or that they will draft a star in one of the next 2 years. So... You don't know, but if I had to wager a guess, I would take the field over, I guess the unknown field versus the known field. Because I think Markkanen is the only guy who really has a chance. And if the answer to the question is yes, the best player is on the team and it's not Markkanen, then we're probably in trouble.
Yeah, agreed. Question from at Craft Beer So Shy. Pharaoh. Ayton is the bona fide number one prospect, while other top prospects, Doncic, Bagley, represent unnecessary redundancy at shooting guard and power forward. If the Bulls somehow land the two or three, do we stand pat, or pursue a trade package to go get our guy? If so, what's the bundle?
Well, you look and see what's available. And I've not actually done a lot of research on if the Bulls drafted two, who would they maybe want to trade with? I'm not sure. The team's picking four or five, and I mean, that could also, we don't even know which teams would be picking in those spots yet because it would depend, who moves up. So, but assuming you got like Dallas and Orlando and Sacramento in there, I'm not sure if any of those teams have extra picks that they could throw you in a trade up. I'm not sure that any team is going to give you a future first rounder to trade up. Someone really has to be in love with what you have in order to do that. And maybe someone says, yep, Bagley or Doncic is enough value that I want to do that. But, the last time we were in that situation, we had two and we traded down to four. It didn't work out so great for us. So I'd be a little nervous from that. I personally would take Bagley if we had two or three.
I would, if possible, believe it or not, if you could turn two or three into six in, let's say, 10, 11, or 12. I don't know how that
I
happens.
don't think that's possible. I mean, I don't think anyone has the picks to do anything like
Let's say hypothetically, though. Let's just say hypothetically, you had the choice of having
that. Okay.
six and 10 or two or three.
I'd take 6 and 10. Yeah,
Yes,
for sure.
agreed.
But
Agreed.
it's not possible, so I don't think that there's any scenario like that. You'd be more looking at probably like 6 and 25 for two, and in that case, I'd just take two.
Okay. Our good friend Mark from Australia had an interesting question here. And we got to get him back on the bus. He's been our only guest so far. We got to drag him back on the bus and interrogate him thoroughly. Why are you
I
fr
still think he's recovering from motion sickness from the last
from
time he
the
was on
last
the bus
ride?
and had to put up with the two of us. I mean, this was really a rough situation
He
for
threw
Mark.
up all the way back to Australia. He was just so disgusted with our ride. Why are you, Fred, so quick to reference how bad of a shooter Kirk Heinrich was,
Oh, God.
a player you detest, when Denzel Valentine, a player you adore, career shooting numbers are worse? End the question.
The show. You had to bring a Kirk Heinrich
Well,
moment back into
this
this.
is a legit question, so we had to address
Should
it. And you
we
jumped
talk
on me on
about
this
Ben
one
Gordon
too.
as well? I mean,
Oh,
maybe we could throw a Ben Gordon comment in here. I mean, it just seems
I
like it's time. I can't answer as to why you trash Kirk Heinrich shooting so much, but love Denzel Valentine. I mean,
Oh, come
that
on.
sounds like one straight for you. I mean, I'm sure we'll be in for a 10-minute rant about how much Kirk sucks and how
Well, let me
Denzel
address
is just the
it.
best player ever. But
I'll try to keep
I
under
can't wait
5 minutes.
to
Let me address it. Kirk's shooting percentage in his first two seasons was 39.2%, which was below Valentine's after his first two seasons. And, Valentine, unlike Kirk, is often disparaged, primarily probably because I support him, I think. I think it's a big reason people dislike Valentine, is just my unequivocal support. Yet Heinrich was wax poetic about how great Heinrich, this and that. Heinrich isn't anywhere near the shooter Denzel Valentine is, and it will be proven by the time his career is over. And I brought up the point that, and I said this, and you jumped on me here, so I want you to defend your comments here. And if one day, here's my quote in a tweet back to Mark, and if one day we have to throw a number one pick and extricate him off the roster, as we had to do with Heinrich's overpaid carcass in 2010, Denzel will feel my wrath as well. If you recall, for fans who are maybe a little too young to remember this, Kirk Heinrich joined the Bulls, had a couple overrated seasons, signed a huge fat contract before 06 season, 06, 07 season, and then had a good year. His 06, 07 year was a fantastic year. That was his first year of that contract, and he was not a complete embarrassment. But that summer, after 06, 07, he had a terrible playoffs, and that summer he was never ever the same as a basketball player. It's not talked about at all. I don't know. Maybe one day we'll find a mystery of why Kirk Heinrich
Not
suddenly
talked about
sucked.
at all, huh?
Besides by
I'm
me.
guessing if you go through the archives of the Chicago Bullseye, Kirk
Maybe
Heinrich's
every
line may have
episode.
been touched on
Yeah.
once or twice.
But suddenly he went from like a paid, highly paid starter to, oh, he's a nice role player to have off the bench, yet he's still getting, 10, 11, 12 million a year leading the team in payroll. And then the
Bulls. He was never that highly paid.
He was highly paid, Doug, in those years. In 06 through 2010, he was, I think, the highest paid Bull every year.
But,
maybe not. Ben Wallace.
But he was well below max. It's not like he was like some of the crazy overpaid deals. Kirk Heinrich is never going to make anyone's list. Let's just put it that
way. You're probably right.
I agree. He was probably like maybe $2 million a year overpaid. I also agree with your comments. He had a great first year after he signed the deal, and then he just kind of fell apart. In terms of his shooting percentage went down, his effectiveness went down. And he got married that offseason, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
I believe there were a bunch of jokes that, like, oh, he got married, now his game's going to go to crap. He already had a kid, one of those family situations that just ruins basketball players forever.
But it is a fact that I referred to that people don't know is in the 2010 offseason, the Bulls traded Kirk Heinrich to the Wizards. And in order to get for the Wizards to take on his contract, his double-digit $10 million plus a year contract, they had to send their number one pick to the Wizards. You're aware of that.
As I replied the tweet, that was completely because of the 2010 free agency. There were a few teams that had deals that they could take for to send expiring deals, and there was like 10 teams trying to get under the cap to lure LeBron James.
No.
So that is exactly what it was. You had a bunch of teams trying to get double max contract space, trying to make these trades. And it was just the market at the time. And the Bulls made an aggressive move so that they could get enough room to sign two max guys.
Doug, here's where you're wrong. If Kirk was a good player at that time, you wouldn't have had to throw a number one pick in there. The Wizards had no chance of getting any of those top picks. They knew it. They took Kirk on, and they got a number one pick out of it. And good for them.
That's fine. I'm just saying, it was the market. If it was 2011, the market to trade Kirk would have been entirely different. And the Bulls wouldn't have done it. It was because there were, it's just like basic economics. It doesn't matter how good the guy is, it's basic economics. There's very few teams that had the ability to make that trade, and there were a lot of people who wanted to make that type of trade.
Well, yeah, you're right. Big picture, Kirk is overrated, Denzel's highly underrated, and Mark from Australia will figure out one of these days.
Well, big picture, every time you say Kirk Heinrich on this show from now on, you got to put like a dollar in the Heinrich jar or something, and we're going to buy a pizza for everyone at the draft party for it. Because it's really ridiculous that you're talking about Kirk Heinrich in 2018.
Well, people bring it up to me. I didn't want to talk about
it. No, you did bring it up to you, and you still take the bait. Like you're like a three-year-old. Come on. You don't need to like jump in and go after this. Like, I mean, it's really... There's an irrelevancy here.
You're probably right.
Kirk Heinrich is gone. You don't have to. You can let it go. You can let it go. It'll be okay.
you're probably right on that one. Here's another one. Kevin Martin, AK.Mart. It's not a question. It was a reply to my tweet. And my tweet was, Raptors are locked in for $126 million in salaries next season with several contracts that approach untradeable status. Basketball purgatory indeed. And I just pointed out that Lowry's making $31 million, DeRozan $27 million, Ibaka $21 million, Valanciunas $16 million, et cetera, et cetera. A team that just got swept by LeBron and his band of idiots. And this Kevin Martin jumps on me. Yeah, having an entertaining 59-win team sucks. That's definitely worse than being a 27-win rebuilding team whose window might already be shut for the next decade. Because two playoff teams are already younger and better than you, period. What a dopey comment, number one. Let me just reply to it. First of all, did we not have to endure for year after year about the Bulls were stuck in this contender playoff team, but they never had any realistic chance to win anything, and that was like the worst thing in the world? Well, which one is it? Is it that? Is it the Raptor status? Or is it, better to rebuild and do what we're doing? But number two, how the heck can you tell me the window is shut? Like, if we get Ayton and we have a team next year of Ayton, Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine, are you realistically telling me you don't think that we don't have a window of 10 years that we can't beat Philly? That's impossible? What say you?
I like the way you subtly gave us the number one pick in the draft in that reply. I mean, sure, anything can happen, in terms of if we hold off for our cap room and then we sign Kawhi Leonard and a Klay Thompson and we draft Ayton, we'll not only have a window, we'll just win like 10 championships. you know, there's always different opportunities available. So we do just have to see what happens. It's a young team. They're in the talent gathering phase. I actually find this team more interesting than the 40-ish wins Bulls teams, which I think were clearly not going anywhere and didn't have a lot of room. I also agree with you, you know, the Raptors are in a spot where they're clearly not going to get better. They're kind of like the Wizards in that sense, and they got some good players, some exciting players. They'll have some good seasons. But you know they're really not going to go anywhere because their salary is high enough and their talent isn't high enough, and they don't really have pieces to bring anything else in. And, you know, that can be a frustrating position for a fan, absolutely. But, you know, it's worth noting that the most likely scenario for the Bulls is to end up in the same spot the Raptors are. Like, the most likely scenario is, or even worse, that they don't make it to be a team that has a great regular season and gets its ass kicked in the second round.
Yeah.
Now, I will say the Raptors do have a special amount of, like, history in terms of just choking in the playoffs compared to every other team. And so they definitely underperform, but I don't think anyone, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. When I saw them going up against the Cavs, I didn't think they were going to win. I thought the Cavs were going to kick their ass before the season started. I thought they had a good chance of losing in the first round. I would just like never bet on the Raptors to do anything ever. Like, it just always seemed to disappoint in the playoffs. I don't believe in their players. I do think they're on a downward trend. I wouldn't be super excited to have be a Raptors fan at the moment, knowing my team probably isn't going to get better. But at the same time, realistically, I can't say 3 years from now, the Bulls are definitely going to do better than what the Raptors just did. I mean, being a second-round exit team is probably a fairly, you know, would actually be a pretty good success if the Bulls manage that 3 years from now.
Well, yeah, because they'd be considerably younger and still have a opportunity to improve, whereas, I mean, is Serge Ibaka going to get any better? He's making $20 million.
The Bulls are going to be capped out, too, in like 3 years, right? They're going to have to extend all these guys they got.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to be in the same cap boat as the Raptors are before too long.
I just,
you know, you only stay with all these cheap salaries before guys get extensions. So, you know, it's a tough league, right? There's only a few super duper stars, and if you don't have one, you pretty much have a super hard time having a chance. And the Raptors clearly don't have one. Lowry and DeRozan are not super duper stars, and the most likely scenario is that the Bulls will also not have one and will struggle. And I should say struggle to get past like the second round, because that's around the place you get to if you don't really have one of these ultra premier players.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's much different than what Jimmy Butler was. I think DeRozan is right there with Jimmy Butler in that kind of like second tier, 10 to 20 range. And the guy, he's not going to take you to the title. You know, that's why I think the Bulls made the right decision. And Jimmy's better than DeRozan, I'll say.
I kind of hear what you're saying. I think Butler is definitely better than DeRozan. He's at least a two-way player. I mean, I don't think DeRozan's really giving you much on the other end. I would definitely take Butler over DeRozan. But I agree with your overall point. They're not, like, so different in their tier. It would be like arguing, like, Joel Embiid versus Chris Paul for, like, one season or something.
Like, my point is,
clearly take Embiid over his career. But, like, just this year, who helps you win more? Like, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. They're different. You know, it's just, maybe if I thought about it, I would know. But it's a difficult thing to gauge some of those things sometimes.
Yeah, like, I think they're similar. Let's put it this way. Butler's a lot closer to DeRozan than he is to LeBron James or Harden.
Like, yeah, the delta between those guys.
And I think it's similar players in that. In the playoffs, I think at some point you got to start questioning, you know, whether these guys have the ability to raise their game. I know Butler had one game where he had 28 points. He also had another game where he had like 9. You know, it's just like, I think he's kind of like up and down a lot, where in general, Harden and LeBron and Anthony Davis and these guys are just putting up insane numbers in every playoff game. And they're just in another tier. It's just a fact. And, you know, I have no problem with trading him and rebuilding and hoping that we get somebody that could, you know, lead us to promised land. I love Jimmy, but he's an alpha who's really a beta. He's a beta who thinks he's an alpha, and I think that's the worst thing. So
yeah, I don't know if I'll go that far about Jimmy being the beta who thinks he's an alpha, but I agree with you. If you're the group guys in tiers, him and DeRozan are probably in the same tier, and they're clearly not in the Westbrook, Durant, Curry, LeBron, Harden tier.
Yes. Yeah, they're in a tier with Wall and Beal and all these guys that are, you know, all-star level players. They're just not at that elite level of guys that are going to win a title for you. You know, you just can't do it with him as their best player. Going back, think about it, Doug. Is there a team that you can think of that's won a title without a player who is clearly a top seven player? Maybe Detroit. Pistons. What's that?
Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons. That's it. You know, so more often than not.
Yeah, that is. That's pretty much it.
And that team was unique in that it had probably about four or five guys that were top 30, you know? I think you could make that case that Ben Wallace was just an elite defender at that point, probably a top 30 player. And then, you know, kind of like Chauncey Billups was a top 30. Rip Hamilton was probably right there in the 25 to 30 range. You know, that's
what... Tayshaun Prince. Those guys were all, like, probably, and I don't know if I'd say all top 30, but, you know, they were
30
at
40.
Least all top 50.
Yes.
You know, if you think about it, a top 50 guy is a top two player if you spread out the talent evenly. And so they did have a good amount of talent, but it was spread out. And it's really difficult to win that way. I mean, they're really the only example that's even quasi-recent that has pulled that off.
Yeah, Detroit's the only one. I mean, every other team, you know, Dirk, top five, top 10, probably that, you know, top 10 at least. Probably top five that year, and you just go up and down LeBron and Curry, and it's just so hard to do. Durant, you know. All right, my man, that's about it. We're already well past our time here, but another great.
We have a time limit.
Why? Yeah, usually I try to keep it to 30 minutes, but
30 minutes.
Yeah,
30. The fans want more, Fred.
Well, you know what? We're gonna start giving it to them.
The fans, we are. They're listening to us over their workout. You know, we got to get them to that 6-7 mile range on that run. You know.
Yeah, maybe next time I'll do an acoustic version of "Eye of the Tiger" to close out the show. So I think that will help. That will help them in their efforts. But you know, now next week, let's do the lottery. I mean, so the lottery is what, Monday or Tuesday? Is it Tuesday?
It's the 15th. I have no idea what date that is. I think it's Tuesday.
Let's try to do a show either that evening or the next day. I think I'm going to be out of town next week, but so we can get a show in to talk about, you know, it's going to be great just to know finally where they're going to be picking.